Praise the Lord for all that wonderful singing that, making melody, rejoicing, uplifting the name of Jesus. That's what it's all about. Thank you, everyone. We'll have a preacher this hour. Darren Waller, our son's going to come. Pastor of Bethel Baptist Church in Spruce Pine. Gene is here with him and the rest of the family here. Just so good to have Darren with us. I know he's busy, but he'll be with us tonight, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Lord willing. So let's just pay attention and pray for him and mind the Lord tonight, Darren.
Should have this out already.
That's all right. Planning on preaching a while, so I brought my lunch. Some of y'all got real scared when I said that. Amen. It is good to be with you all at Fletcher tonight. We praise the Lord for the opportunity God's given us. I was just sitting here thinking about what a privilege it is to be with everybody here tonight. And to have the opportunity to preach on top of that is great. But I've enjoyed the good song service. I want you to give the Lord a clap offer to praise His name. That beautiful music that you heard, bless His name. Appreciate the choir. Praise God for that. The special singers, Brother Jason, trio, ever how you call yourselves, Brother Jason, that was great. Justice family, that was tremendous. We are so thankful to be serving God in these days. There's some very dark days that we live in. And a few days ago, my wife and I, we were just on a roundabout, just taking care of some business there, and we were cutting across a back way that we knew up in the mountains. And all of a sudden, here come a car upside down on its top, right towards us. It stopped, and mother's jumping out, glasses busted everywhere. What had happened was she had swerved into the ditch somehow. I don't know if she said that she was trying to reach something to one of the babies in the back, but she'd overcorrected, flipped her car upside down. It comes sliding to a stop. She's cut all the pieces on her legs, her arms. She's got three little ones hanging upside down. None of them were hurt. We're able to get all those children out. And my wife, she's got the least one in her arms, and we quickly made friends with them, and we're trying to call 911, but there's no phone signal there. We're trying to run up and down the highway to find a place to get phone signal so we can call someone to help. And it took them just a few minutes to get there. And they were, trying to address her wounds and the little children that she had. I mean, they're small. They're all under about Gabriel's age, 5 or 6 years old and less. And they're wandering out of the highway. They don't have their shoes on. And we're trying to witness to her as well. And she's cussing about every other breath. And I don't know if she's probably concussed as well. She's confused about which way she was even going. And we were watching all that. And God began to speak to my heart. He said, I want you to look at this lady. She's cut. She's wounded. You stopped your whole day to help her. Your wife, look, got blood all over her to help her. And there's a message that I want you to go and deliver the church. I pray that it's for everybody. But if it's just for one person who's wrecked, we're all going to stop and do all we can to help you and to try to be a blessing to you. And tonight in doing so, God would revive our spirit if we would help these that are hurting tonight. They began to bind her wound for the moment. She tried to refuse care, but she was so concussed, they were going to have to do something different. We were on the side of the road with her for about an hour and a half total time. Made us late for where we really needed to get to. And God worked all that out. But I want tonight to begin reading in the book of Luke, chapter number 10. Book of Luke, chapter number 10. And I want to begin reading in verse number 30. And I would ask that you stand to your feet and reverence the author of the book, reverence the reading of God's Word tonight. Luke chapter 10, if you found your place, say amen. Verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Every one of us in this building, we have been wounded by the devil, left for dead, when he lied to you and said he was your best friend, and that you'd run around with him, you'd have a good time, how'd he leave you? And religion couldn't help you, and the law didn't help you. But thank God for Jesus, who came by right on time, and bound up your wounds, poured in the oil and the wine, set you on his own beast and paid all the cost to take you. Listen upon each and every one tonight, Lord, that's gathered in your house. We are thankful for this dear congregation, for the man of God, our pastor, and my dad. Lord, for my mother, for my wife who are able to be here tonight, for each visitor and every member of this dear church, God, I thank you for them. But most importantly and most impressively, I thank you for your son who found us wounded and left for dead, dead in trespasses and sins. And Jesus came to where we were and he saved us. And we've been healed by his stripes. And now we're a child of the Most High God. Servants of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we praise you for the opportunity you've given us tonight to come in and worship Jesus and praise his name and exalt him. Lord, we love you. Now, Lord, help us then to deliver the message you've laid upon our heart on the side of that road. God, we want to do our best, but we know that our flesh has such limitations. God, would you give us the words, the adverbs, the pronouns, the very language that we can understand to paint the picture that the Holy Ghost could use tonight to speak to hearts. Thank you for what you're going to do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. I want to turn to another passage of Scripture. I want to turn over to the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. The book of 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. 2 Corinthians, chapter number 12. I want to begin reading in the first verse, if you will. 2 Corinthians, chapter 12, and in verse number 1. And I'll wait for you to find it. Say amen when you found it so I'll know. The Scripture says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body, or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which it is not lawful for a man to utter. I believe that this is a moment when Apostle Paul was taken outside the city and was stoned and left for dead. And as he laid there, God gave him vision, revelation, if you will, caught up into the third heaven. And he heard things that were unlawful for him to utter. God then allowed him to come back to this body and this life. And he got up. He went back into the city. And he preached in that same place to the same people and their families that had stoned him. And he preached to them the love of God. I believe with all my heart. And Paul said this event happened to him 14 years ago. Verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. I want to say by way of introduction tonight, at least I'm instructed tonight, just to say five things by way of introduction, and then maybe we'll preach the message, unless we get caught up right here. I believe that God allowed Paul, according to the text, to have this thorn in the flesh to buffet him, to keep him from being exalted because of the revelation that God has given him. In other words, God allowed it to keep him humble. And this messenger of Satan, it buffeted Paul. By faith. I believe, first of all, Paul was wounded. To buffet is to hit with the fist. It's to smite. It's to punch. It's to beat down. It is to attack. It is to pound and to batter someone. A messenger is someone who comes and says things to you. Things like God doesn't love you. Things like where is your God in this time of your wounding? Nobody cares. He's this. He's that. Let us take note tonight by way of introduction that Paul 14 years ago is wounded. And 14 years ago, not just because he was stoned, but 14 years ago, wounded because he's being buffeted by a thorn in the flesh and by the messenger of Satan. Second of all, I believe he is weary. Paul has been suffering with this thorn in the flesh and this messenger of Satan for an extended amount of time. 14 years. Let's note that it is a chronic condition. He's wearied with it. Thirdly, he's winded. I believe Paul prayed every day, don't you? I believe he prayed many times each and every day, don't you? But three times out of those 14 years he had this messenger of Satan, this messenger, this thorn in the flesh, three times he was so winded, the breath driven from him, spiritually speaking, he besought the Lord three times, God, take this thing away from me. Begging God to remove it. He is winded. I'm speaking to someone tonight. You have been wounded severely. You are wearied severely. You are winded. It is all you can do to get your spiritual breath. This has been happening for some time. And you cannot be healed with it. And it continues to be a problem. I believe that Paul was warned. Paul understood that this happened to him to keep him from being exalted. Hear me tonight. Amongst this crowd that's gathered, including myself, I do not believe any one of us is so super spiritual that we've been given these revelations, and now God gave us this messenger of Satan, this thorn of the flesh, to keep us humble. God, I believe, has allowed these things to happen to you. He knows all about it. To draw you to Himself. To cause you to turn to Him. To cause you to cry out to Him. To cause you to be more faithful. To cause you to rely upon Him like you never have before. Fifthly, it worked. All three times Paul prayed, the Lord said, "My grace is sufficient." And Paul said, most gladly will I therefore glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Do you understand from that text, he was never healed of the wounds of the messenger, of the buffeting, of the thorn. He was never healed of it to the day that he died. Now I want to say this to you tonight before I preach. There is a difference between a wound and a scar. A scar is a wound that is healed. The fact that you have healing, that indicates where God has been. God is the one that is our healer. But if you're wounded, that is an indicator of where God is at. He is working with the wounded. Now, there are scars all over my body. When I was little, I wrecked on a bicycle. Oh man, it hurt. I cut myself bad. I have a scar there. I came home from Camp Zion a few years ago, and I'd had some people working at my house, and they left a shower door sitting on my front porch. I thought, how redneck can that be to have a shower door leaned up on your front porch? So I sent my family, just got back from Camp Zion. My family, my wife, and my son went down to Pizza Hut to get us something to eat. And I picked up that shower door, and I was carrying it to the garage. And as I started to set it down, it shattered kaboom in my hands. I stopped instantly, and I thought, what is this red substance that's dropping to the ground? My thumb was cut, and it cut some type of little artery or something. But I was bleeding profusely, and it hurt. I rolled up my thumb in my shirt tail. I went and got my daughter. I said, "Daughter," she said, "what is it, Dad?" I said, "I've been cut." Showed her. She goes, "Oh, my." I said, "Can you get me to the hospital? Your mom's at Pizza Hut. Your brother's at Pizza Hut. Can you get me there?" She said, "Permission to drive very fast." I said, "Carefully, very carefully." She backed that car around, picked me up, and took me off. She took me off to the hospital. She called my wife. She said, "Mom," she said, "Dad's got cut. I'm taking the hospital." Her mom was in a full-blown panic. She said, "It's all right, Mom. God's got this. And I'm driving. It's going to be okay. Help us, Jesus. I survived it." But I've got a scar there. 16 years. I'm not here to tell you this stuff. But 16 years of age, Dad and I were lifting mesh steel. It's graded, okay? In other words, it's got open like graph paper. And it's steel. And we got to drop it on 1, 2, 3. And when we did, I don't know if I had this way or this way, but my fingers caught in it, and it grabbed my leg on the way down. And 3 teeth opened my leg up all the way down. They lost count after hundreds of stitches. The meat just fell backwards off the bone. And my dad, he began to pray over me. Honest, I believe that I was going to be healed on the spot. I have never in my life heard him pray like that. My mom got our little old black Oldsmobile, I believe it was. She backed that thing up through the forest that we lived around at the time, through and weaving through every tree, didn't hit a bush, backed right up, they wrapped me up a towel, took me to the Old Mountain Sanitarium Hospital, where they called in a surgeon to sew me up, and I got huge scars where I've cut 3 places. Those scars are wounds that were healed. Tonight, hear me. I'm talking about someone who is wounded. It is open. And it is in need of healing. Paul had this thorn in the flesh, this messenger of Satan, until the day that he died. I want to preach tonight about how it is that you and I need to dress a wound. Somebody here tonight, under the sound of my voice, you are wounded. When people were rejoicing, when the choir sang, you couldn't. All you could do is think about and process what is hurting you, what it is you can't recover from, what it is that continues, and you put on a brave face and you smile and you do the Christian thing and you talk the Christian thing. But we're talking tonight about someone who's cut, wounded, it's still open. What are we going to do about it? Now, I'm no paramedic. I don't know anything about the medical field whatsoever. When I cut, I bleed, I cry. That's all I can tell you. But first of all, when you've been wounded, number one, the first thing you need to do is you need to wash the wound. I watched them there as they began to dress that young lady. And they didn't just go and get some tap water, you know, to begin to pour over it. Because if you just pour tap water over a wound, it can get the germs that are in the tap water. Preacher, there's not germs in the tap water. I don't care what it is, how purified, there are germs in tap water that will cause infections if you're not careful. And they did not wash it in tap water. Let me tell you what some of you are trying to do with the wound that you have. You go and you prayed. Oh God, I'm so wounded. And I'm hurt so severely. And I don't know where to turn and I don't know what to do. And you start praying about it, which is the thing to do. Now you nod your head at me if you agree. But while you're praying about it, somehow your mind drifts off about it. And then you quit praying and you start dwelling on it. Now I'm just being honest. We start thinking about it, replaying it, reprocessing. And we're supposed to be praying and we were doing pretty good. But somehow the flesh got in it, started. Any of y'all ever done that? And you sit there and now you're like, well, I just can't believe I'm just, whoa, what was I doing? I got to get back to praying. And all you're doing is, you're washing that thing with tap water because you get away from your prayer life and you start processing the way humans do in their intellect, trying to reason and understand it. If you're not careful, another danger of tap water is you'll go to your friend, maybe a well-meaning friend. You rehearse this whole thing with them. They hear it. And maybe what you don't know is maybe they want to advise you from their angle. Maybe they don't have your best interest at heart. Maybe they've not prayed about it themselves and have any instruction from God. Yet they turn and begin to advise you about the wound that you have. And now you've got debris and feel and dirt and germs in the wound. And instead of getting better, getting worse. So what do we need to do? We need to go and get some saline. They took saline and put all over that wound that that young lady had. I said, God, can you tell me what that saline is? He said, the saline of the Spirit of God. Take the Holy Ghost and let the Holy Ghost run all through that thing. And what He'll do is He'll wash away every germ. He'll wash away all the filth. He'll get rid of all the debris and He'll get you cleansed real quick. Amen. He's going to make sure that no germs get to this wound so it can be dealt with properly. The saline of the Holy Spirit. Paul was wounded. 14 years he's borne this thing. And every day he was taking the Holy Ghost and the Holy Ghost was separating the germs and the debris and the filth and the clutter out of the wound that he had. First thing, wash the wound with the saline of the Spirit. Number two, I want to tell you to wipe the wound. Once you've washed the wound, you're to get a sterile material. Get that material and begin to dab away the moisture. And then go and get some ointment, which induces healing and repels the germs. And many of these ointments, I've got one in my hand here, is they'll say, well, it's a triple ointment. Now I want to say tonight, God said, you're to apply the triple ointment of truth to this wound that you have. To be dishonest about the wound, hear me, you will never dress your wound with a lie. It'll make you bitter. Preacher, I don't follow you. If you're not careful, you'll discredit the wound. Let me give you a couple examples. Got a preacher friend of mine, great pastor. Inside his church, there came this movement that betrayed him and hurt him. Man, so terribly. Quickly, this crowd moved out and left him with those that were at peace and stayed in the church. But now he's wounded. And what he's done is he's took the pulpit and now he begins to address negatively those that have stayed with him, those that love him, those that support him, those that care for him. He's blaming, he's shooting everybody he can. Boom, boom, boom. And nobody now wants to hear him. Now let's be honest. Have you ever been around somebody that you just didn't want to hear them for their bitterness and their negativity, whether they're in the pulpit or whether they're your friend in the marketplace? Amen. And they've been wounded and they're crying out from their wounds, but they're addressing it the wrong way. One of my favorite preachers, if honest, Dr. J. Harold Smith, dad, was one of my all-time favorite preachers. Boy, I love that man of God. He said this. He said when he was 51, 52, and 53 years of age, he said, I almost lost everything that I have. I was betrayed by my best earthly friend. It destroyed so many things in my life. And he said, you have no idea. He said, I lost money. I lost homes. I lost relationships. I lost brothers. He lost things in his family because of what this person had done. And he said that they were moving, having to move. His wife came in and she couldn't find him. And she's hollering for him. And he was in the back room praying. She knocked on the door and opened it. Dr. Smith was down on his knees praying. And she said, Harold, are you crying? He said, Murtis, I'm crying. She said, Harold, it was just me and you and Jesus when we started this thing, and that's all we need. He said, Murtis, I know that. But he said, God called me to preach. And he said, I am on the border of losing faith in the human family. And when a man of God loses faith in the human family, he will become bitter and he will be in a place that God cannot use him effectively like he once did. He said, now, Murtis, pray for me that not only will we not lose faith in our God, that's not even in danger, but faith in the human family. You understand how church works? We've got to have faith in our God, but there's some people that God uses in our life that we count on, that we back each other up, that we love each other. We're not there to backstab each other or wound each other. We're there for each other, to pray for each other, to uplift each other. Are you with me? I'm talking about taking and wiping that wound, Preacher Darren, with what? The triple ointment of truth. Be truthful with God. Be truthful with yourself. Be truthful with your neighbor. Preacher Darren, I want to be truthful. I'm going to blow it out. Oh no, we'll deal with that issue here in just a minute. Wipe the wound. I'm halfway done. Thirdly, wrap the wound. After that deep wound has been washed with the saline of the Spirit, after it has been applied, the triple ointment of truth, apply some sterile gauze. That sterile gauze will wrap it. And it will protect it. It holds the ointment in place. It keeps more debris and filth from getting into it. If the wound bleeds, the gauze will absorb it. I'm asking tonight that you use the gauze of grace. Wipe this thing and wrap it with the gauze of grace tonight. You understand that it seals the cleansing agents in that induces the healing.
and it protects the wound. Grace protects you. Grace keeps the filth out. Grace is what produces healing in your life. Hear me. You do what you can. You wash it. You wipe it. You wrap it. But then once it's wrapped, let God have it. He's working through the gauze of grace. He's working underneath the gauze of grace. Praise God for the wrap that He gives us called grace. Number four, and I'll be done. The fourth thing is, you need to watch this thing. You may have to unwrap it about every day or so. And you need to watch how this wound looks. You need to daily cleanse it. You need to daily wipe it. You need to daily wrap it. But deep wounds require a lot more attention. Especially a wound that's not really healing like it should. Your wound, if you're not careful, will get infected. Not only from the outside. If you're not careful, your wound will get infected from the inside. Preacher, man, I'm not following you. I hate to tell y'all this, but you and I, we have no righteousness of our own. Our righteousness is filthy rags. Inside your physical body, you have germs. Yes, you do. I got two amens in the whole house. I don't have germs. I took a bath. There are germs inside of you. You don't know what's growing inside of you right now, but there are germs there. And when those germs find out that you have a wound, those germs get on high alert and they want to go attack that very place to cause some infection. And thank God for the blood cells that the Lord sends out to fight off those germs and the infection. But I want to use it this way. Those microscopic germs will begin to try to attack. And so the Lord might, He's going to prescribe to you an antibiotic. Preacher Darren, what is that antibiotic? The antibiotic of attitude. On the inside, when you've been wounded, you're just real liable to have a bad attitude. To be grumpy, to be fussy, to be whiny, to be disrespectful. I want to say you'll lose fellowship, you'll be annoyed, you'll get unfaithful. It is going to hinder your worship. You need to learn to have an attitude of gratitude. And that attitude comes from the inside. And if you're not careful, you're going to get yourself in trouble. You understand that 90% of the battles in our life is with our attitude? Listen, Paul's attitude. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. In conclusion, your doctor that sees you may say, you're going to have a lot of pain with this wound. Say amen if you've ever had a wound that hurt you. And he says, I'm going to give you some pain pills, some medicine for the pain. And they tell me that your body, your physical body, will not heal properly when it is in extreme pain. It spends its time trying to get out of pain rather than healing. And it's a problem. So the doctor said, I'm going to give you medication to get your body out of pain so it can concentrate on healing. God has a prescription of you for you. It's called the pain pill of prayer. When we pray, God gives us love, joy, and peace. And when God really, listen to this, when you're praying and then God speaks to you, that's a pretty good sign that you're getting through. Now, I've been through some wounding, can you tell? And the other day I was out on my lawnmower and the Holy Ghost breezed by while I was praying. And He spoke to me. And I left the lawnmower behind And I'm thankful that it shut off when I got off of it. But for just a little bit, you ought to have seen what it was doing. And then you ought to have seen what I was doing. When I come to, I was all the way up in the woods, back up in the grove, and I was having myself a Holy Ghost fit. Then I come back, and in my yard, there's some push mowing I have to do, and the Holy Ghost come back again, and then I had to, I mean, you ought to see the lines to come. Hey, God comes through, and when He begins to speak to you, praise God for the healing that He begins to give to you. Now, Preacher Darren, I don't like to take pain pills. Why not? Well, they're addictive. They tell me that I can become an addict if I take too much of that Oxycontin or some of that Percocet. I'll get addicted to it. Well, you're right. You got to be careful. But the way I'm seeing it, I've got addicted to the pain pill of prayer. I want to tell y'all something. It's given me love and joy. And man, it's produced a feeling inside of me. Now I've got more victory than I had when I got saved. I've got more victory than I've ever had in my entire, that's the truth, than I've ever had in my entire life. And the devil, I'm telling you, he's firing with every shot he's got. But I got, and let me tell you something. I just got to have more of that pain pill called prayer. I just got to have it, brother. I got it. Hey, could you help me? Could you pray for me? Could you pray with me? I'm an addict. I'm an addict to prayer. Would you help me? Hey, would you feed? Would you help me? Let's pray together. Let's get together and pray, man. I find out about the power of prayer and the things that it can do. You hear me in that church? We don't pray enough. Nowhere near enough. Now, Preacher Darren, this is the strangest thing I've ever seen. You to come in and put red tape on your shirt to indicate a physical wound. Well, I did it because I can't show you our heart, our soul, the seed of who we are. But if you saw it tonight, we'd look at each other and say, I bet that hurts. Oh, that's got to be awful. You're going through some terrible things. And the messenger of Satan, the thorn in the flesh, has been sent to buffet you. And guess who allowed him to come? Our Father. He said, this will do them good. And will drive them to me. Now I don't know who you are. I'm not a super spiritual person. But there is somebody in this house tonight. You've been wounded. It's been dealing in your life. It didn't just happen. This has been going on for a while. And it's hindering. And it's hurting. You're like, why won't God take this away? The devil says, because there ain't no God. Because if there is a God, He don't love you. He'll do it for other people, but He'll never do it for you. The devil is a liar and the father of it. Paul dealt with this for 14 years. Three times he became so winded and weary with it, he besought the Lord to take it away. And God said, my grace is sufficient. Church, you stand to your feet. The grace of God is sufficient. Somebody come to the piano, please. I wonder if there's somebody you'd get this altar and say, oh, I've been so wounded. Oh, God, would you help me? Would you give me, Lord, that precious wipe? Would you give me, Lord, that precious grace, the gauze of grace? God, would you give me that tonight? Let me tell you something. You may stand here now, well, if I go down there, everybody's going to think stuff about me. That girl that had flipped over on her top and her three youngins hanging upside down in the car. At that point in time, it didn't matter what anybody thought about it. She just needed help, and she needed help desperately. And the Levite and the priest passed her by, but a good Samaritan stopped to help her, amen. And tonight he's come your way, and he sees you as wounded. He sees you as hurting. Maybe tonight you might say, Lord, would you help me to be a better supporter of my brothers and sisters? Oh, I'm not doing my job to pray for them. Oh, that God would help me to recognize the wounded and lift them up. They're hurting so much worse than I thought. Tonight, this has become God's emergency room for those who are hurting. He is able tonight. Oh, my God, He's able. Your head's bowed, folks are moving. Who needs to come this way? It might be somebody that's on your heart you need to pray for. It may not be you that's hurting. It may be somebody else. Oh, would you bring them to Jesus right now? Bring them to Him. Come on. Folks are still coming. God bless you.
God, for the message. God, for the message. Pray this week every one of us will take the time. You may not find it. The devil will try to hinder, get us busier than we've been in a long time. That's his plan. But we should do everything that we possibly can to take time to pray, to seek his face, whatever it takes. Just get along with God. Let him speak to our hearts. Thank you for the wonderful message. We needed that. And God knows who that was for. Every one of us has been hurt, wounded, whether it's physical, spiritually, mentally. God knows what we need. And we heard it in that. Thank God. Thank God. The young boys are going to the offering plate now. The offering will go to our evangelist in that. Appreciate him so much for being here. Come play something as we're taking up the offering or sing a song. Anybody got a song on their heart? Randy, come sing a song if you will, my brother.
Let's turn to page 41, page number 41.
Father, we thank you for tonight, God. Thank you for the opportunity to meet in your house tonight. And thank you for this wonderful message we've heard, God, and how it's encouraged us, God. We've all been through many, many things, Father. We've all had wounds, God, but you are so faithful. And you have blessed us beyond measure, and we can't thank you enough for that. And please forgive us of our unbelief. And please just help your man, God, this week, and help him preach, God, with mighty, mighty power. Help the pastor, God, and give him wisdom and the congregation, Father. And would you take this offering and use it for your glory and for your man tonight? We love you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Page 41, let's sing it to the Lord.
Jealousy, and then things we do on our own. Somebody else have a thing to do with it. And unforgiveness, boy, those are wounds. God will help you. God is still in the wound. Pray much, and we appreciate the goodness of God. Allow us all to be together tonight and trust in Him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful. Lord, that we can look up to you and call you Lord. We thank you for the singing. We thank you for the Spirit of God. We thank you for the message. We thank you for helping us, Father. You have helped us, God. And, Lord, we need help. And I pray, Father, we'll take this message. We'll remember it. We'll remember it. And we'll put legs on it. And we'll do these things. And help us, Father, to have a clean heart. The blood of Jesus cleanses from all sin. Help us, Father, to claim that. In Jesus' name, amen. And, again, we thank everyone for coming. Tomorrow night.